Hi, this is the September 16, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. The headline on the front cover reads, "No phones in class?" Some schools don't allow students to have phones in class. Are these bans a good idea? Big debate. Should schools ban phones? As you hear this article, think of what are some reasons schools don't allow students to have phones in class. Words to know, implement, verb, to put a plan or an idea into action. Engaged, adjective, greatly interested in a task or an activity. Committed. Sixth grade teacher Angie Charkey has a no phones rule in her class, but she says getting students to follow it is tiring. They'll put the phone away for like a minute and pull it right back out, she explains. Charkey is looking forward to January. That's when her district will implement a ban on smartphones in schools. Charkey works in the Los Angeles Unified School District in California. It serves more than 420,000 students. The phone ban in Los Angeles is part of a growing trend, and it's not just districts that are making the change. Florida, Indiana, and Ohio have passed statewide laws limiting phone use in public schools. Other states are considering similar laws. Like Charkey, many teachers support phone bans. They say kids are more engaged when they aren't always looking at their devices. They also argue that phone bans cut down on cheating. But other teachers point out that phones can be helpful for schoolwork and in emergencies. Should students be banned from having phones in school? Yes. Many educators say phone use in schools has gotten out of control. Christopher Knox is a fourth grade teacher in Flagler Beach, Florida. He says it doesn't take much for phones to cause a major distraction in class. One little chime sets off the whole class as every student with a phone checks to see if it's theirs, he says. Charkey hopes that not being allowed to text or play games will be a positive change for her students. I think they'll be more focused on what we're talking about in class, she says. Knox says his school's no phones rule also encourages students to be more social. The cafeteria gets very loud during lunch, he explains, but I love that the students are actually talking to each other. At some schools, students are required to keep their phones in special pouches until the end of the day. 97% of kids ages 11 to 17 use their phones during school hours. No, most teachers agree that they don't want a classroom full of kids texting, but some say a total ban on phones isn't fair to students. Cell phones have become a key part of everybody's communication, says Stevie Frank. She's a technology coach and former fifth grade teacher in Zionsville, Indiana. Frank argues that phones can be useful learning tools. For example, she would let her fifth graders use their phones to create podcasts and videos for projects. Allowing phones in schools makes life easier for many families. Nico Strobel is a fifth grader in Carlsbad, California. His parents might text him if a pickup plan has changed or if he forgot his lunch. Nico says phones can also help students feel safe. Kids might need to reach out to their parents if something goes wrong, he says. 79% of parents say kids should be allowed to use their phones in school, at least sometimes. What do you think? Highlight two pieces of evidence to support your opinion. Use that evidence to write an argument essay. Then cast your vote at sn4.scholastic.com. Culture Connections, My Superpower. Risley Maldonado Quintero wants the world to know why she's proud to be able to speak both English and Spanish. As you hear this article, think about what are some of the benefits of speaking more than one language. Words to know, fluent, adjective, able to speak a language well. Translate, verb, to change words from one language into another. Celebrate Hispanic history. What if you could have a superpower? Would you want to fly like a bird? Run as fast as a cheetah? What if you could read people's minds? Risley Maldonado Quintero says she has a superpower. The 9-year-old is bilingual. That means she knows two languages. The fourth grader from Norwalk, Connecticut can speak, read, and write in English and Spanish. Earlier this year, Risley came in first place in a national essay contest for bilingual students. She wrote about why being bilingual is her superpower. Celebrate Hispanic history. Each year, people in the United States celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, starting on September 15. About 65 million people in the U.S. are Hispanic. The month is a time to honor the traditions and ways of life of people whose families are from countries where most residents speak Spanish. Why September 15? It marks an important anniversary for five countries in Central America. On that date in 1821, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua declared independence from Spain. As part of her prize, Ricely won $500 and an iPod. And she got the chance to let people know what's so special about being bilingual. Ricely is among the more than 67 million people in the United States who speak more than one language. She says the skill helps her to get to know kids from many backgrounds. Being bilingual also allows Ricely to help her family figure out life in a new country. Fleeing home. Until she was 6 years old, Ricely lived in Venezuela. That's a country in South America where most people speak Spanish. Some areas of the country are dangerous, and Ricely's parents often feared for their family's safety. Hoping for a better future, Ricely's family decided to move to the U.S. in January 2022. They are hardly alone. Since 2014, more than 7 million Venezuelans have left their homeland. Hundreds of thousands moved to the U.S. Settling in. In February 2022, Ricely and her family arrived in Norwalk. Friends in the area helped them settle into their new home. A month later, Ricely and her older sister, Magdalias, started classes at Silvermine Dual Language Magnet School. Ricely was nervous on her first day. She recalls holding tightly to her sister's hand. "I thought kids were going to bully me because I didn't speak English," she says. But Ricely's classmates were welcoming and she made new friends. She still had a major challenge ahead of her, learning English. It was difficult, but with the help of her teachers and an app called Duolingo, Ricely became fluent. Helping others. Now Ricely is helping her parents learn English. In the meantime, she says one of the biggest benefits of being bilingual is being able to translate for her mom and dad. She helps them communicate with workers at stores and with people who call their home. Ricely sometimes misses Venezuela, since most of her family still lives there, but she's grateful for her life in the U.S. and for learning a new language. "When I came to America when I was six, I was scared. I didn't know English," Ricely wrote in her essay. "Now being bilingual is my superpower." U.S. History. Uniting the Colonies. It was September 5th, 1774. A group of men gathered in secret in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This was no ordinary meeting. It was the first step toward America's independence. Word to know. Delegates. Noun. Plural. People who represent others at a meeting. At the time, many people in the 13 colonies were fed up with being ruled by Great Britain. American colonists didn't have any say in harsh laws they were forced to follow. The 56 delegates had come from across the colonies to talk about how to unite against the British. Future presidents George Washington and John Adams were there. That secret meeting 250 years ago is known as the First Continental Congress. "This is the beginning of the 13 colonies becoming the 13 states," says Brian Krish of the National Constitution Center. It was the beginning of a process. No turning back. The meeting lasted nearly 2 months. By the end, the delegates had decided on a plan. They created a document that outlined the colonists' rights and their arguments against British rule. But the British wouldn't budge. In April 1775, the first shots of the American Revolution rang out. It would be 8 years before America officially won its independence. The First Continental Congress set the stage for future meetings that would help turn 13 separate colonies into one country. Later groups created America's founding documents, including the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. "This was people learning to work together as a country for the first time," explains Krish. Find out more about the Constitution at sn4.scholastic.com. The world's most expensive action figure. Word to know, prototype, noun, an example or a model for a new design or product. There's a photo of he looks kind of like a robot soldier. He's all gray and has red patches on him, and he has a helmet on. This action figure is less than 4 inches tall. It's also 45 years old, but it's worth more than a brand new car or most homes in the U.S. In June, the Star Wars Boba Fett action figure sold for a whopping $525,000. That's the highest price ever paid for a toy. The Kenner Toy Company created the action figure in 1979, 2 years after the release of the first Star Wars movie. It was supposed to be a special giveaway for fans who had purchased other Star Wars merchandise. Fans never got a chance to buy it, though. The toy fired a rocket that could be a choking hazard. The Boba Fett that ended up in stores had the rocket glued to its back. But some Kenner employees saved the original prototype. Because so few of the rocket-firing Boba Fetts exist, the rare action figures became legendary to toy collectors. It was thrilling to see it become the most valuable toy in the world, says Joe Maddalena of Heritage Auctions. That's the company that sold the record-setting figure. You never know, that ordinary toy in your closet might be worth a fortune someday. Big bucks. These collectibles also sold for surprising amounts of money. Earlier this year, a copy of 1938 Action Comics No. 1 was auctioned off for $6 million. In 2003, someone paid $200,000 for a G.I. Joe doll prototype. This 1985 Super Mario Bros. Cartridge sold for $2 million in 2021. News Review. Constitution All-Stars. September 17 is Constitution Day. On that date in 1787, 39 delegates from the states signed the Constitution in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Get to know some of these leaders. George Washington, State, Virginia. Before he became the nation's first president, Washington was the first person to sign the Constitution. Benjamin Franklin, State, Pennsylvania. At 81, Franklin was the oldest person to sign the Constitution. He was only one of 6 men who also signed the Declaration of Independence. James Madison, State, Virginia. Madison contributed so many ideas that he became known as the father of the Constitution. Governor Morris, State, Pennsylvania. Morris wrote the famous first line of the Constitution, "We the people." He also gave 173 speeches at the Constitutional Convention. On the last page of this issue, there's an infographic about the Constitution All-Stars. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. There's also a map on the bottom of page 6 showing the 13 colonies. You could study the map and then answer the questions, or ask your parent, teacher, or guardian for help if you need it. That completes the September 16, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.